Turn to Acts chapter 26. The book of Acts chapter 26. I was really wanting to bring a message on the church this morning and something about our church, but I just felt like the Lord had had me to bring this message. Real brief, to the point, for someone that's here today. Acts chapter 26. Here in Acts chapter 26, we've got a conversation going on. Verse number 26, after listening to the words of the preacher, the Apostle Paul, "For the king knoweth of these things, before whom also I speak freely. For I am persuaded that none of these things are hidden from him, for this thing was not done in a corner. King Agrippa, believest thou the prophets? I know that thou believest." Now stop right there. Just a preacher asked that fella, he said, "Do you believe?" I'll ask you that this morning. Everybody looking at me? Let me ask you a question. What all you've seen and heard here this morning, do you really believe it? Do you believe it's just a bunch of junk that people conjured up in their mind? Or do you believe it's real? Do you believe there is a God? Do you believe there is a heaven? There is a hell. And there is a God, and He's looking at us right now. Well, He said, "I know that thou believest." But notice what happened. Verse 28. "Then Agrippa said unto him, Paul, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. And Paul said, I would to God that only thou, but also all that hear me this day, were both almost and altogether such as I am, except these bonds." Here's a man who, great man, is king, who looked into the fiery eyes of a well-seasoned, red-faced preacher and said, "Almost you persuaded me to become a Christian." He said, "I don't like that much, Paul, going ahead and accepting what you're saying. Just a little bit be all it'd take for me just to get down on my knees and accept that one you've been preaching to me about. I've almost been persuaded." About a young woman many, many years ago when they practiced capital punishment and hanging and all of that in Philadelphia who was convicted and condemned to die. On the day that they were to hang her, her brother received her pardon from the government. And he got on his horse and he went speeding across the countryside to try to bring that pardon to set his sister free, who was to be hung by the neck until dead that day. And he ran into some bad weather and the water was up over the bridge and the water flooded. He had to go way down the road, go around the flood, cross another bridge, through some rough weather, mud and slop, and finally made it to the town where she was to be executed. And when he pulled up on his horse, she was dangling by the neck, dead, and he had her pardon in his hand. He almost made it. Now, ladies and gentlemen, we used to have a saying, and the whole message is illustrated by the old saying that people used to say, "Almost don't count except in horseshoes." That means getting close ain't good enough. Almost getting saved is not getting saved. Almost making it to heaven is hell. But here's a man who was almost persuaded to be a Christian. He said, "Paul, just another word or two, and I'd fall down on my knees and say, yes, that's the real God. Yes, I want Him in my life." But he said, I decided not to do it. And folks, you know this morning, you can read the Bible, blue in the face. You will never find anywhere after that where that man ever got saved. There's been some of you sitting here this morning. You were here last Sunday morning. You were here the Sunday before that. And I've saw it. There's been a time or two when you've been almost persuaded to come to this altar. You just felt like, God, I'm just about ready to. But you've held back. You listen real carefully this morning as I talk about almost a Christian. Now, the first thing I want to say is what a person can be and not be a Christian. You can be a lot of things and not be a Christian. You can be born into a Christian family. A lot of people, are you going to say, are you a Christian? And they'll say, I'll have you to know my daddy's a deacon in the Baptist church, and my mother's has taught Sunday school all my life. What do you mean, am I a Christian? You can be born into a Christian family and not be a Christian. You hear me tonight, or this morning, you're not going to go to heaven on your mother and daddy's coat strings. You're not going to get in on what they've got. You are not a Christian just because your family is a Christian. Then you can be raised in a Christian atmosphere. I've had people look at me and I'd say, are you a Christian? And they'd say, listen, son, they said I was reading the Bible before you was born. I said, well, what's that got to do with it? They said, I want to have you to know I've been in church since before you ever started preaching. While you was out there living in sin, I went to church, I paid my bills, I'm good to my neighbor, I help out people who need help. I believe in the Sermon on the Mount. I believe in do unto others as you'd have them to do unto you. You're still not a Christian. You can be raised in a Christian atmosphere and not be a Christian. Not only that, you can be educated in Christian principles and not be a Christian. You know America is full of Christian principles tonight or this morning? Did you know that America has, from our Liberty Bell up in Washington, D.C., has scripture from a King James Bible on it? Even the laws of our land, most of them are based on the Word of God and find their roots right here in this Bible. You can be educated in Christian principle and still not be a Christian. You know what them people in Hollywood and people in New York and people in Atlanta and people in Charlotte and people in Miami and people in San Diego think? A lot of those people think that if you are just good to people and that you keep the golden rule and that you don't deliberately hurt anybody, that somehow or another that God will take you to heaven when you die and that make you a Christian. I want to say it does not make you a Christian. It does not make you a Christian just trying to live by Christian principles. Another thing, you can belong to a church and not be a Christian. How many people you ever ask, are you saved, a Christian? And they'll say, oh, I belong to the such and such Baptist church. I belong to such and such Methodist church. Now let me ask you something. What if I came up to you this morning and I said, Bruce, are you married? And Bruce said, yeah, I belong to New Manna Baptist Church. I said, now wait a minute, son. You ain't hearing me. Are you married? And he'll say, listen, Brother Danny, of course I'm married. I pay my bills every month when they come due. Now, I said, wait a minute. You have misunderstood the question. You got wax in your ears or something. You are dull of hearing, brother. How are you married? And he said, I read my Bible every night. I said, wait a minute. Bruce, we know you're not the smartest person in the world. Are you married? And he said, the other day, there's somebody out the shopping center ringing him with little bells. And they was going to help burn children. And I pulled out $5 out of my pocket. And I put it in that little trash can. And for that little bell, what do you mean asking me, am I married? I said, whoa, son. You better help me lead you out here. I need to make you an appointment up here at Foothill. And we're going to have a nice man talk. You say, preacher, nobody's that silly. That's how people answer you when you ask them if they're a Christian. I want to say to you this morning that putting money in a trash can or helping out your neighbor paint his house or doing a good deed for a crippled child or belonging to a church has no more to do with you being saved than it does with whether you're married or not. That may be a shock to some of you. Getting saved is something that happened between you and God, just like getting married happened between you and your wife. And belonging to a church has nothing to do with it whatsoever. Because you sit in a garage don't make you a car.
You can sit in a bakery and that don't mean you're a donut.
You can go lay down in the fireplace and that don't make you
a stick of wood. And you can come and sit in a church and that does not make you a child of God.
I'll tell you something else. A lot of people think just because they're buried in a Christian fashion. Did you know people say, well, I'll live like a devil and do whatever I want to. When I'm dead, they'll take care of it. They'll say a bunch of nice words. Preacher, he'll preach me up there into heaven. And a lot of times you try that. Everybody talks about what a fine fellow he was and how they pick out two or three good things he'd done in the last 50 years and bring back, you know, and tell everybody how, what a good person was. And I reckon that's all right. I'll tell you one thing. It sure ain't going to do that guy no good. The split second he left this body, he was in heaven or hell, depending on whether or not he's saved. You can be all those things. You can belong to a good church. You can pay your bills. You can love your family. You cannot lie, steal, or cheat, or drink liquor, or smoke marijuana, or take cocaine, or crack, or shack up, or anything, and still not be a Christian and go to hell when you die. Well, you say, what in the world is a Christian, preacher? One, a Christian is a person who has received the Lord Jesus Christ into their heart, and they have settled it that He and He alone is their only hope for heaven. That's what a Christian is this morning. I stand here before you this morning. I know I'm a Christian. I may not be much of one in your eyes, but I know I'm a Christian. And when God Almighty sees me this morning, He don't see me the way you see me. You see my faults and my failures and all the things that I don't do and shouldn't do or couldn't have done and shouldn't have done. But when God sees me this morning, He sees me in His Son, in the Lord Jesus Christ, and that makes every one of us children of God by faith in Him. A person who is a Christian is a person who says, hey, I cannot make it on my own. I am not good enough to go to heaven by myself. I receive Jesus Christ, what He's done for me, and get wrapped up in Him. And the Lord sees us. He doesn't see us like we are. He sees His Son, thank God. That's what a Christian is. John 1:12 said, but as many as what? Work for their neighbor? No. Done good deeds? As many as received Him. Let me ask you a question. Have you ever received Him? Now, this is 13 years we've been here. And I'm trying to keep my preaching as simple now as it was when we started. It's hard for a preacher to do this. Because I know that there's some of you sitting there that's heard me say this 1,000 times. And you'd a whole lot rather me be preaching on something more. And I'm going to tell you what I could do this morning. I've heard people say, well, I've heard you preach on that before. You know, I'll tell you what I could do? I could preach on a different subject every single service if I wanted to. And never repeat the same thought. But what would be the point in that when we got 200 or 300 people here this morning that need to hear the most simple, basic gospel message they can possibly hear? Everybody's not Bible scholars like you people sit right in here in the first four rows. People need to hear the truth that there's only one way to heaven, and that's accepting Jesus Christ, His shed blood. And that's what a Christian is. If you're back there somewhere this morning and you're confused and you say, I just can never be a Christian. I couldn't ever be that good. Don't ever forget we were one day where you said, there was one when I thought I couldn't be good either. And I was right. I couldn't. But through Him you can do whatever God wants you to do. And you can be saved this morning by simply trusting Jesus Christ. A Christian is one who belongs to Christ. I love that story about the little boy who made him a little old boat. And boy, he fashioned it, glued it out of Elmer's glue and ice cream sticks and made him a little sail. Yeah, and fixed it all up and wrote something on it and everything. And it's his personal little boat. And he was floating it around one day and down to the beach and he lost it. And oh, he went home and cried and cried. And one day he's walking down the street downtown and he walked by the toy store and he just happened to look in the toy store, the little country store there, and there was his little boat. And boy, his heart started pounding. He ran in there and he said, that's my boat, that's my boat. He said, I lost that thing down at the road. And the man said, I'm sorry, son, I don't know you. I bought that boat from a salesman that come through here. He said, that's not true. He said, it's mine. He said, I made it. He said, it's not yours now. It belongs to me. And he said, if you want it, you're going to have to pay so much. And the little boy went out and worked hard and mowed grass and sold lemonade and done everything else. And he came back in the store one day and he said, here's the money for that little boat. And the man said, okay.
okay, son, here it is. That little boy got that little boat, and he walked out of that little store with it that day, and he held it under his arms like this, and boy, he was just a-smiling, and he said, now you're mine again. He said, I made you the first time, and I lost you, and then I went and bought you back, and you're mine again. You know, that's just what the Lord did for us, folks. He made us to begin with back there in the Garden of Eden, but then He lost us. Our race fell by sin in the human race, and the devil had us on the old chopping block down there getting ready to take us to hell. And the Lord went down and He said, I want them back. And He went and paid the price and shed His blood for our sin and bought us back that we could have eternal life. And boy, when you get saved, the Lord will cuddle you right up in your arm and say, I bought you back. You wasn't mine to begin with, but you got lost and now you're mine again. Hallelujah! That's what a Christian is this morning. It's one that's been bought and paid for by the blood of Jesus. Let me show you what a Christian is this morning. Now, I'm leaning on this thing. If I didn't think that thing would hold me up, I'd never do this. You don't see me lean over on that flower? I ain't going to do it. You know why? I don't trust it. I don't trust it. You lean over on that flower, preacher, I'd do like this. But watch this. You know what? That thing will hold me. That thing will hold me. If I don't quit eating, it won't. But I believe it'll hold me. Now listen, you know what I'm doing? I've got enough faith in that thing to trust that it'll hold me when I lean up against it like this. We've come this far by faith, leaning on the Lord. Now, the way I know I'm saved this morning, you know what a lot of people are doing? They're saying, I don't know if I'm saved or not. And the membership, good works, giving money. Here, just lean on Jesus Christ. Lean on Him. Lean on Him. Leaning, 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 leaning on the everlasting arm. And you know what? You're safe and secure. There's a lot of people that think the Lord can't hold them up. But He can, brother. He'll hold you up. Just lean on Him. Let me illustrate it like this. You've heard me tell this story before. Here's an illustration of salvation. There's this man falls off a cliff, see? This really didn't happen. It's just an illustration. And on his way down, about 3,000 feet down, he grabs and he hits some rock and he grabs a hold of a vine like this. And he's breathing hard and he's swinging there and he looks down, there ain't nothing but about a mile of nothing down there and jagged rock. He had let go, he'd bust his brains out. And the vine's about to break, and he's just hanging there, and his legs are dangling like this, and he knows he's gone, and he knows he can't save himself, and he says, oh God, help me. And when that happens, as soon as he says, oh God, help me, there's this big strong angel come floating down out of heaven. And that big angel's got big muscles and a smile on his face, and he stops right there in midair and grins at him. And the guy's hanging out saying, save me, save me, save me. And the angel says, all right, let's ask you some questions first. Question number one, do you believe that I can save you? He says, well, he can float. He can. Look at them muscles. Yeah, I believe you can save. I believe you can. The angel says, question number two, do you believe I will save you? See, a lot of people believe God can do it. It's another thing to believe He will do it this morning. Will He do it today? He said, you believe I will save? And the guy said, well, he's grinning at me. He come when I asked him to. He must like me. He must be going to help. Yeah, I believe He will save me. And the angel said, I will if you'll trust me. He said, okay, okay. Save me, save me. And the angel says, let go of that vine. Now there's a situation you're in this morning about trusting Christ. You know what most people say? I trust you and everything, but I tell you what, grab me and then I'll let go. Ain't that it? Ain't that it? There's a lot of people that stick their feet up here and they'll say, but now I want to live for God, but I don't know about trusting Him completely because I'm afraid it won't work and I'm afraid it won't last. I'm afraid. That guy's just hanging there and he said, you got to let go first. And the guy said, no, I'm scared to let go. What if you don't get me? And the angel says, I thought you said you believed I'd save you. Well, I do. I'm not doubting you or anything. Well, let go then. Boy, it'd be easier if you'd grab me first. No, son, if I'm going to save you, let go of the vine. So finally, the guy has to turn loose of every, you hear me now, every feeble effort to save himself. You cannot save yourself. You cannot be good enough to go to heaven. I'm telling you this morning, the only way that you're ever going to have peace in your heart and know you're safe is just completely trust Jesus Christ and let go trying to save yourself. So he finally says, well, foot, I'm going to get killed anyway. Here goes. And he grabs him. And that's the way the Lord wants to do you this morning. Just trust Him. Trust Him.
Now you can drown and quick in 10 feet of water as you can 100 feet of water. All in and come short. See? All have sinned and come short. What if water ain't but 3 inches over your hands? You say, oh, if it had just been a little bit more shallow, I wouldn't have had it done. You still drown the same if it had been a mile deep. All have sinned and come short. No matter how good you are, you still come short of the glory of God. All right, let me say this. What is it like to be almost a Christian? It is to see your need and not confess it. You know what some of you are doing here this morning? You know good and well you need to get right with God. You know this message is for you. You know that there's people in here praying for you. You know that there's ladies in the prayer room right now calling on God on your behalf and praying that the Lord will get a hold of you. You see your need and will not admit it. Number two, it's to wish to be saved and remain undecided. You know what almost a sin is? And stand there and grab the pew and say, oh, I wish I had what them people had. I wish I had what they had. I wish I had what they had. And still turn around and walk out these doors and say no to God. That's what it's like to be almost a Christian. And the next thing, it's to be left at the door and remain outside. I read a story of in the war where a lieutenant was out in the battlefield when they was fighting the war and he was missing. And somehow or another he got messed around with a bomb and it blew up and he was like blew his arms up and he's bleeding real bad and he's wounded. And the nurses were waiting on him a mile away. They heard him blowing the horn coming. And they were going to try to doctor him and fix him up. And he come blowing the horn in there. And he got out and staggered up the walk to the little hospital they'd set up there on the base and bled to death right on the front steps. He almost hit. Here's a guy hits the ball. Listen now. He hits the ball. He gets a double. There's a fumble out in the outfield and they wave him on. He comes around. Third base coach says, go, man, go. He comes around third base at 90 miles an hour, headed toward home with all of his might, and he can hear the fans screaming and cheering, and boy, he slides into home plate, and that ball comes from the outfield. Catcher grabs it, and the umpire calls him out. He gets him by about a half an inch. And he goes back home. He said, I almost made it. I almost, if I'd have just been that much quicker, we'd have won the game. But you wasn't, friend. Almost ain't good enough. Listen, if they tag you out, they might as well have got you by 2-3 yards as to got you by that much. Because you're still out. I've heard of people said, we went into the house and the house was on fire and we couldn't get the baby out. But we almost got out. But you didn't get it out. Almost don't help. You say, boy, I had that fish on my line, and I had him on there, and I almost had him. Well, you just might as well not have got a bite. Right? You say, but I almost had him, preacher. Well, you just might as well not even went fishing, because you didn't get it. And to come to church, hey, you think you're going to come before God one of these days and say, God, I was at New Manna Baptist Church. I heard that preacher preach. God, I almost went. God, I believe if I'd had another Sunday, I almost. The Lord said, but you didn't come. Almost ain't good enough. Man says, the target, what you missed. Guy says,
I almost got on the lifeboat.
Yeah,
you drowned. You said there's a car come around the curve on the wrong side of the road, and I almost missed him, but you didn't miss him. You say a guy pulled a gun out on me, and I almost got out of the way, but you didn't get out of the way. You see,
you can stand here this morning and you say, I've just about made up my mind to serve God. I tell you, I've been thinking about this thing, and I know there's people praying for me, and I've been going up that church, and I've almost decided to become a Christian. That ain't good enough. You've got to do something about it. And my advice to you is this morning, don't walk out these doors until you can say, no longer almost persuaded. I know that I'm saved. Let's stand and bow our heads. Every head bowed. Every eye closed. They're getting us a song this morning. I feel like there's somebody here this morning, no doubt, that's almost persuaded. And the Lord's been dealing with you, friend. Maybe somebody's talked you into coming this morning. You've been putting it off and putting it off and putting it off. And right now, this morning, you say, Brother Danny, I'm tired of putting it off. I don't want to miss the boat. I'm coming to that altar this morning, and I'm going to settle what's between them and God. Why don't you do that this morning? Why don't you do it? It ain't going to get no easier. Almost don't count seven horseshoes. It don't count in the matter of being saved. Father, what ought to be done this morning? I pray for that man, that woman, that boy, that girl who's almost persuaded. Help them to make that step. Lord, in our 13th anniversary, what a blessing it would be to see them continue to walk the aisle, continue to be saved through the battles, through the storms, through the hard times, that you're still saving souls. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Do something right now, I do pray, in somebody's heart. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We're going to sing that old song this morning, Almost Persuaded. If God's speaking to your heart, we're not going to tarry long. Why don't you come now? Come on. Amen. Here comes some already.
Go ahead, Brother John.
Come on right now. Come on. Come on right now. Amen. Thank God.
Now,
how about you this morning?
Almost persuaded.
How about you this morning, friend? Why don't you just get out of your seat and come on down here. Let's get right with God this morning, will you? Come on. Come on. Do what these have done. Come on right now. Just get out of your seat. Come on. Almost don't count in this business. Don't tell the Spirit of God no. Amen. Amen. Let God speak to you. Come on. Come on right now.
Almost.
Amen. Others are coming. Others to come. Yes.
Come
yes.
Today, almost persuaded.
Yes.
Turn
not away.
Not away.
Amen. Come on. just a moment, I'm going to have Brother John sing one last verse. One last verse. I still believe there's two or three more in here, maybe more. You're almost persuaded. You say, Brother Danny, I come up here every Sunday now and I hear you preach and I want to be saved. I really do. I just don't know if I could walk out there in front of all them people. Listen, buddy, these people ain't going to think nothing about you. They're going to pray for you and love you and try to help you. They won't think you're crazy. They won't look at you strange. They'll think you're crazy if you don't. It's the greatest thing in the world, knowing where you're going when you die. I'll sing one more verse this morning. If the Lord has dealt with you, please do like these have done. Thank God for these young people and some of these mamas getting things settled here this morning. Hallelujah. That's wonderful. Hey, this ain't something to take a chance on. One more verse, brother. One more verse. This will be your chance.
Almost Amen. Persuaded.
Amen. Thank God.
Harvest is past.
Come on, friend. There you go.
But to fail.
That sad, that bitter well, almost
yes.
But long.
Yes. Go ahead and sing another. More's coming. More's coming. Thank God. Thank God. Somebody else. Somebody else. Amen.